welcome back to this edition of the Hagmann Report. Our guest this segment, or for this hour, is Pastor Mike Spaulding. Folks, go to his website, Soaring Eagle Radio. Thank you, Eric. I had it bookmarked here. I thought I did it. I don't know where I put it. Pastor Spaulding has been a guest on our show a number of times, and he's joining us again for this hour. We got a lot of stuff we're going to get into. He's got some scriptures he wants to go over, and we're going to get into that. But as with permission with Mr. Spaulding before we came on, we're going to start with the current events. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. Pastor Spaulding, welcome back to the Hagmann Report.
Joe, it's good to be back with you. Doug, thanks for having me back on. It's an honor and a blessing.
Just to let you know, Mike, that my dad just had to step away from the desk. He should be back shortly, but it's just you and me for right now.
All right.
But yeah, let's start off with current events. There's a lot of pieces moving, both geopolitically, with the presidency and the media, the culture of the climate of politics in America, the immigration issues, there's just so much. The saber rattling of North Korea and to a lesser extent China. Where do you want to start? What do you think is most important?
Well, for me personally, as I survey what's going on in the churches today, the hot button issue for me is the immigration issues, and I refer to it candidly, Joe, as a migrant invasion. It's not really an immigration issue. This is an issue, from my perspective, of national security. It's an issue that our government needs to do the right thing about, and that of course leads into some scripture. as you can imagine, as a pastor, as a Bible teacher, I've been a Christian for 34 years, and I've never seen anything quite like this, where such a large amount of believers are siding with this migration invasion, so to speak. And recently, there was a group of 500 plus so-called evangelical pastors, ministry leaders, that wrote an open letter. I believe it was posted, Joe, in the Washington Post, full-page ad, supporting the continued migration invasion. That's my words, not theirs, and tried to do so from a biblical perspective. And I've got to tell you something, Joe. As I thought about that and chewed on that and searched the scriptures, I cannot find any place in the scriptures that supports that position. And I've heard all the arguments. I've read all the proof texts, and they are sorely lacking for context. To support this, most of them being taken out of the Old Testament, and to support how we are supposed to treat foreigners in our land, and so on and so forth. And I've pointed out in a number of conversations, Joe, with many people over the last several weeks, that the context for those admonitions, those exhortations to the Jewish people to treat foreigners within their land with dignity and respect has to do with foreigners that are already living in the land, not those that are coming into the land, many of them under the guise of refugee status, but have very clearly ill intent for not just Americans as individuals, but the American system as a government. That they are opposed to that. Their political, geopolitical, religious, philosophical viewpoint is opposed to everything that America stands for. So that by itself, Joe, should be enough to cause any Christian to pause and think about, well, what does the Bible really say? And I refer people to Romans chapter 13, and the duties of government. And one of the duties of the government is to protect its citizens. It is not to be a global police force. It isn't to be a charity for slothful people. It isn't to be a haven for refugees. The number one priority of a government is to protect its own citizens. And by taking the position that the Obama administration did for 8 very long years, it proved to me and to anyone else who's awake that they did not have the citizens of America and their interests in view. So, and again, I refer people to Romans chapter 13. If it'd be okay, Joe, I'd like to read sure. just one verse.
Absolutely.
And then ask this question of people. It talks about in verse 3, it says, of Romans 13, for your listeners that happen to have a Bible handy, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Then do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Verse 4, for it, government or civil authorities that are ordained by God, is a minister of God to you for good, but if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Now, the reason I bring that up, Joe, is because our government has turned that passage upside down. It's on its head. The government of the United States does not reward good. It actually rewards evil. It rewards every kind of depravity. And it punishes those who try to live righteously and good, as the Bible describes it. So that's just one passage among many, Joe, that I would use when I'm talking to people about this whole refugee invasion. And there are many more.
Pastor Spaulding, I want to make sure we don't gloss over this issue before, because you made some important points that got my mind working. And you know, we see this, whether it's immigration, this whole social justice mindset that we see. And one thing, before I forget, that I want to say is, it's interesting how, you know, a lot of the people on the left and these liberals, from politicians to supporters, will use Bible verses that they can twist to fit their narrative. But when anybody else uses the Bible or a Bible verse, or mentions Jesus' name, you see instant backlash and hate, and you know, you get the name. I mean, there's just so much anger that is being projected at, and directed at Christianity, and the followers of Christianity. But then, you know, when it's something that fits their narrative, and they want to pretend to be these humanitarians that they're doing this for the good of the people, they will use, you know, what they can, obviously always out of context for the most part, and try to jam it down the throats of the people. Now, what you said is that you've never, in 34 years, you've never seen the atmosphere like this. What's really sad is that the Christians are in some cases, guilted into believing that this is something they need to do. They're being manipulated and lied to by the news media, and misled, and the news media misleading other people. And, you know, you really have the separation of the, I guess if you want to do it along party lines, right or left, or just the anti-Trumpers versus pro-Trumpers, or right versus wrong in many people's opinions, it's never been so, the gap's never been so wide and deep right now with these two groups, both in the political arena and in our society with the population. Right, and I think this is done by, this is done intentionally. But
it is.
What really bothers me is when, you know, it's very sad to see the people buy into this manipulation and this deception. But when you see pastors,
who should know better,
stuff, absolutely. Yeah. And you said it right off the bat. This is a national security issue. It's a safety issue for the people here. It's an economic issue to a great extent, not so much as the security. But when you have illegal aliens, and this doesn't go for all illegal aliens, but you have people who are coming over here intentionally to take advantage of systems and
Yes.
You know, programs. You have people who are coming here to take advantage of other people. You have people who are coming over here to commit violence. And you have people who are coming over here to work. And without some sort of, you know, the legalization process, the coming through the front door, getting a green card, getting a visa, a work visa, they don't want to do that for whatever reason. But you have not only pastors, but people in the media openly calling for people to break the law. And that's, I can expect that and see that from the media, but not from pastors. And, right. and we know some laws are oppressive and unconstitutional, but you know, the immigration issue, especially people who are being snuck in or sneaking in or doing it for the purposes of subversion and not wanting to assimilate into our society, it creates a major problem, national security problem, cultural issues. And I mean, we can go down the list, the checklist of problems it creates. So yeah. if you have any, first, what would you, if you could speak directly to pastors who were on the fence about this, what would you say?
Well, I would say, first of all, that pastors need to do their homework. They need to understand this issue. It is a somewhat nuanced, or I don't want to say it's complex, but there is a little nuance to it that pastors need to grasp here. And that is the number one, like, as I said in the opening statements, Joe, the number one priority of our government is not to be a sugar daddy that gives handouts. That's one of the reason why our economy is in such trouble that it is. And I think you would agree with this. We are rapidly approaching a point, financially speaking, when we are going to be past the point of ever fixing this problem. Our national debt is going to go past the point, and there's going to come a time when there's going to have to be a reset. And I can tell you something, in the financial condition that America's in today, that reset is going to be extremely painful to a majority of Americans. My personal view is it'll probably wipe out the middle class completely. But let me get back to a couple of points you made, because they were very good, Joe. Social justice is nothing more than a smokescreen that cultural Marxism uses. It's a tenet of cultural Marxism. Political correctness is another word to say the same thing. People use that, as you very well put, to manipulate people emotionally. Now, I believe that Americans, especially the younger generation, have been set up for exactly this type of manipulation. Visual images, videos, whether it be music, movies, short snippets on the news, everything is carefully crafted to appeal to someone's emotion and to get them to experience an emotion that's being directed by those that are presenting the media. All of this is a carefully crafted plan by those who hate America. And again, here's another, not a newsflash for your listeners for sure, but it certainly will be, is, should be, to many churches in America today. There is no such thing as a right and a left. That two-party dichotomy of sorts is false. It's made to really split and divide Americans. And we know this is true. Look at President Trump has come in and how fast the so-called right, the Republicans, have come up against him. They all want the same thing, Joe. Our government is a captured operation. It's beholden to the globalists, such as the Rockefellers, such as the Soroses of the world. What they want, when I say globalists, I'm going to say this very specifically. What these people want is they want open borders. They want free trade back and forth across borders without costing them anything. That's what NAFTA, the World Trade Agreement, TPP, That's what all of these things are about. It's all about corporations lining their pockets at the expense of you and me. That's what that's about. And so what's going on in America today, let me tie all this together, Joe, for us, and if I can, is people need to understand that America, you're either for freedom and liberty or you're against it. It's as simple as that. You're for freedom and you're for liberty and our rights as individuals. The government should work for us. That's the way this country was set up. You're either for that or you're against it. It isn't about R's and D's or independence or anything anymore. People have got to get past that false paradigm and realize what's really going on. Now, pastors of all people should be telling their congregants this information. They should be preaching the news. I'm fond of saying it that way, Joe. The pastors should be preaching the news. They should be seeing what's going on in the nation. They should do their own research, and they should filter it all through the scriptures. And then they should prepare their sermons, and they should preach the Word of God right out of the front pages and give their people what they need to make sense out of the craziness that they're seeing out there in the world today. I do it every week. Other pastors should be doing the same thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I do think there is a place for a certain level of political discussion from the pulpits. At the same time, I don't agree. You know, a lot of what we see in the news, especially lately, with this Trump stuff, and you see a lot of emotion, opinions being thrown out there, personal opinions. And if that's what's happening in the pulpit, I mean, it's okay if you say, you know, this is just my opinion. I'll present you these facts, and this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But when you present your opinions as facts, especially in a pulpit, political opinions, there is no place for that. But there is a place for political discourse, I believe, in the pulpit. And that, when we look at where the direction of the country the last 20 years, and especially the last 10 years, people were afraid to do it. You had the IRS coming after Tea Party organizations, and I think a lot of pastors, at least from what I've seen in churches and from watching things online, it made some pastors more bold about what they were doing and what they were the message they were preaching, and it made other pastors much more timid, and they kind of retreated. And that, you know, that really turned me away from a lot of the churches, that, and at least the church I went to, voting into a homosexual marriage, and after that I said, you know, I'm out of here. And they still
Don't
want that back.
Most pastors, they will avoid conflict at all costs.
Yeah.
They will run from, or any topic, any issue, anything that's going on, they're not going to bring that up if they think that that's going to cause conflict. And so they avoid that like the plague. And they're not going to try or attempt to preach the news, because quite frankly, too many pastors are accustomed to giving a 20-minute cotton candy sermon and thinking that that suffices for thus saith the Lord to their people every week, and that's a bunch of nonsense. They don't teach the scriptures because they don't know the scriptures themselves, and I've got to tell you something, Joe. When we meet week by week as a local body of believers, it is the responsibility of pastors to teach their people, the flock that God has entrusted to their spiritual care, what the Bible has to say and tie it in to what's going on today. And if they're not doing that, if all of they're doing is creating an atmosphere of warm fuzzies and making sure everybody leaves that Sunday morning feeling good about themselves, then they're nothing more than a sheep or a wolf in sheep's clothing, and they're a hireling, and they're in big trouble come judgment day.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And another, even if pastors don't get into the, you know, tying current events into through a biblical perspective, one thing that I've noticed, and we see this a lot with TV evangelists, is they avoid not only the topics that cause conflict, but the topics about sin. You know, like you said, it's more fluffy, more about you know, you got to love everybody, and and even some of the more mega pastors, they talk about, you know, you can get rich now if you do this, and you can be blessed if you do this, with stuff. And, but then you have the pastors who are good Bible teachers to a good degree, but they avoid talking about controversial issues in the Bible, talking about sin, talking about the convictions for your sins, and they do avoid that, and that is very damaging, I believe, because you do need you need the whole picture. You can't be given bits and pieces, and this is where I believe it falls on a congregation and each an individual believer, and this is why it's their responsibility to know what's in the scriptures, to know what the messages in the Bible says, and in the right context, because if every believer had that understanding, these pastors wouldn't be able to get away with half the stuff that they do.
Well, that's absolutely right, and just a case in point, the Apostle Paul said that the believers in the Macedonian city of Berea were more noble-minded than those of the city of Thessalonica for this very reason, because they checked daily to make sure that what Paul was saying lined up with the scriptures. It is the responsibility of every believer to make sure that their pastor is teaching the truth. And if there's, and I'm not talking about calling the pastor out every time he says something that they don't agree with. I'm talking about make sure that what he says, what he presents in a week by week sermon, make sure that what he says is rooted in the scriptures, that he can back that up. Now, I'm not suggesting that people be argumentative or go out of their way to look for conflict with their pastor. That's not their responsibility to do that. And pastors need a lot of grace, Joe. They're under a tremendous amount of pressure today. But to the point that you're making, pastors need to be faithful to proclaim the word. And the problem is, I think, in part, is that so many pastors have lost faith, not just in the veracity of the word of God, but in the power of the word of God. And I hope in the last part of this segment, Joe, we can get into more of that, because I want to encourage your listeners to continue to press on in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Mr. Spaulding, absolutely. When we come back from the break, we got a break in about 2-3 minutes. But on the other side, we'll start right there, because this is probably one of the most important, you know, forget the current events and the things that are going on. Talking about the scriptures and what people need to do to make sure, regardless if the church they go to is preaching the right message or whatever, they need to make sure that their walk is that they're doing what they need to walk right with the Lord, and that should always come first and foremost. While we have just a few minutes left in this segment, I want to hit on one thing that you sent in your talking points: the supporting of violence. I've seen just today there was I believe it was New York Times or Washington Post report that was talking about there was a group of environmentalists who trashed a Trump-owned golf course, and they were calling it a daring act of defiance, almost glorifying it. And we've seen this a lot. You know, you have the ACLU head came out today and said, you know, you need to be in the streets. We'll do this. We'll do the legal work. You got to get in the streets. We have Hillary Clinton, Loretta Lynch, all these people coming out and saying, you know, we need more people in the streets. We need more resistance. We need more blood in the streets. This is creating a very hostile environment. With the minute and a half, 2 minutes before the break, what are your thoughts on what we can do to combat this and what we should be watching for?
Well, first of all, the violence is coming about. The root cause of it, Joe, and I just refer your listeners to Psalm 2, the second chapter, the book of Psalms, and the first three verses, and what your listeners are going to find there, and maybe I'll read it on the other side of the break. But what your listeners will find there, if they look that up, is the reason why we're seeing all of this violence. And I'll give you a little hint, and then we'll probably have to wrap this session up. But it has to do with throwing off the moral constraints that they believe have been forced upon them by Christian America. So perhaps we'll get more into that, and I can discuss violence in that context on the other side of the break.
Okay. Can you tell people where to go, where they can go to find your website to listen to the radio show that you have?
Sure. It's I do a radio show / podcast, SoaringEagleRadio.com, SoaringEagleRadio.com, and I also post my sermons are in podcast form as well. That's TheTransformingWord.com, all one word, TheTransformingWord.com, and then my third, believe it or not, I have three websites that I somehow manage to maintain. My wife is a great help. Shout out to Kathy. Is DrMikeSpalding.com. There's articles there, but also I post stuff from you guys, Joe, Doug, Hagmans, and
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
the last few weeks you posted the weekend this week, yes, on the Hagman Report. Yeah, I was looking at that before the show, and I wanted to thank you for doing that. We wanted to thank you for doing that.
Absolutely, glad to do it.
Folks, we're talking with Pastor Mike Spalding. He's going to be with us through the next segment, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on this edition of the Hagman Report.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is, it'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
New Year from all of us at Trading Post in the Woods.
We pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman and Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people.
Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free. Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that journey. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America.
Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And Thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
To the Hagman Report, this segment, we are joined by Pastor Mike Spaulding, and he's been with us since the beginning of the hour. We've been getting into a little bit of current events as well as the short look into the state of the church, how the congregations and the pastors are, in some cases, being divided along political lines, taking political stands that are that go against what the Bible and the scriptures say as how we should believe. And before, in the last segment, we were talking about Psalm 2. We were talking about the violence and the turmoil, the immigration issues, the social justice aspects of this, and how the church is kind of fitting into this. Pastor Mike, you were about to get into to Psalm 2, which I was reading during the break here, and you also read from, and it says some very interesting things.
Yeah, it really does. And this chapter 2 gives an explanation of what's wrong with the world today. You talk about preaching the news, pastors should be preaching Psalm 2 because it gives a very clear statement about what's wrong with the world, God's response to all of that, and what God is going to do to remedy what's wrong with the world. So if you don't mind, I'd just like to read that comment, Joe.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, Psalm chapter 2, if your listeners have your Bible, turn there with us. Psalm chapter 2 says this, why are the nations in an uproar? So it opens with this question, why are the nations in an uproar? Why do we see so much violence? Why do we see all of the wars, all of the terrorism? What's going on in the world? What's wrong with the world? In other words, that's verse 1. It gets into an explanation then, starting in verse 2. It says, the kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together. So that's representative of governments. So governments are taking counsel together. And the implication there is in secret. They're laying out their plans. They're laying out their schemes together. And they're doing it with an enemy in mind. In other words, they're laying their plans out, they're conspiring, if you will, and conspiring is nothing more than making plans in secret. That's all it means.
Yeah.
And then in verse 3, we find out, the remainder of verse 2, we find out who they're conspiring against, and notice that it says, verse 2, that the kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his, notice capital A, anointed, saying. Now, we're going to find out that the anointed there is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Here's what they say. Here's what they're trying to do. And this is why the world is engulfed in violence, in terrorism, in so much that just really defies explanation, Joe. Let us, verse 3, tear their fetters apart. Tear their fetters. That's referring to the Lord and his anointed one. Let us tear their fetters apart. Cast away their cords from us. See, what that means is they do not want to live under God's law. They do not want to live under God's ordinances. They do not want to live as if God exists at all. So they want to cast God away. They want to cast his moral standards away. They want to live by their own moral standards. Now, in doing that, though, I want to call listeners' attention back to verse 1 and notice how the psalmist describes these plans that the world governments are planning, taking counsel together. Notice in verse 1 how they're described. They're described as a vain thing, a vain thing. The point of that is this, Joe. It is absolute vanity to think that you have the ability to throw off the morality of the Creator, to think that you can do that and live any way you want to without consequence, to me, is a definition of insanity.
Absolutely.
He who sits in the heavens, so here's God's response. The psalmist says, he, God, who sits in the heavens, laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then, verse 5, he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have, notice that's past tense, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I want to stop there so we can get into some other things. But the point there is this. God's plan from all eternity was that Jesus would be the Lamb slain for all who would believe, slain for the world, before the foundations of the world, the Bible says. So God's plan is that Christ is going to return, establish his kingdom. Now, that's bad news for all these people that are not just committing the violence, but those that are encouraging them to do that. I think you mentioned the ACLU and some other organizations, and they are many. There are literally dozens and dozens of organizations trying to foment anarchy and chaos and funding it as well. So all of that's going on. That's the spiritual answer to the violence of what's going on. Now, the fleshly, the carnal answer to why the violence is because they want America to be just like every other third world nation. They don't want Americans to have freedom. They don't want Americans to have liberty, and they're concerned about that. I think statistics say, Joe, that these last 8 years of the Obama regime, I like how the folks referred to his 8 years as a regime, because that's what it was. It wasn't an administration. It was a dictatorship of sorts. But I think in those 8 years, gun sales went through the roof. Concealed carry permits went through the roof. America is a well-armed nation. Now, I hope and pray that it never comes to that, that we have a civil war. But knowing the heart of men, these evil people who are fomenting all of this violence, Joe, I wouldn't put it past them to think that they could create internal strife to the degree that we would have an open civil war and they would get away with it. But anyway, yeah, I don't want to go too far down that road.
And just I want to make a note on that. If you think about why they would do something like this right now, you know, you have the spiritual ramifications of that, and then you have the political ramifications. They don't want to create this strife and civil war to just let the country, you know, burn as it may. They want the power back.
Correct.
And when they get that power back, I believe it will be basically the ending of the transitioning of power. And one of the things from the notes that deals with Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, that I see here, it says, at this time never will any sect be ever so absurd, nor the powers of any state so tyrannical, opposed with so much violence to the doctrine and government of Christ. This will be a sign from heaven that the opposition is plainly from hell. And yes, I think that sums it up very nicely.
It does. You're absolutely right. And of course, everything has a spiritual foundation or basis. And what we're seeing happening in America today with all these groups that are protesting and rioting and causing property damage and physical damage to individuals. It is nothing short of demonic, Joe. The source of it is the pits of hell and Lucifer himself, without question.
Yeah, they might have separate interests, the spiritual and political, but they're working towards the same goal regardless.
Yes, absolutely. And so... Let me say this, Joe, because I don't want to give the impression that everything is doom and gloom, because it absolutely is not, and that's not the way that I see it at all. I see a great opportunity because there is such a stark contrast between the darkness and the light, and we are light bearers. Those of us who are born again believers, we have the Spirit of God living within us. And we have a commission, we have a mandate, if you will, as believers. And that's given to us, of course, in Matthew 28. But I think I'd like to pursue this line of thinking and conversation, Joe, if I could, just to encourage your listeners.
Sure.
Those of us who are believers, Matthew 28 is our commission. It's our mandate. And most people say, yeah, I know what that says. It says that we're to go into all the nations and make disciples and we're to baptize them. And that's true. But I want to call attention to the first statement that Jesus makes and then a very key word. And then I want to follow that up with a couple of other passages. So Matthew 28, for those that have their Bibles, verse 18 through 20, Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, and here's the important statement that folks should underline. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Never think for a second, folks, that Christ is not in control, that the Father has somehow lost control of the creation and he's wringing his hands in heaven because he can't figure out what he's going to do next. This is all coming to a conclusion. Jesus says that all authority has been given to him. And then the key word is, therefore, go and make disciples. Understand that the power behind us fulfilling this mandate that Christ has given us is the power of God. Now, follow that up with Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is, again, Jesus telling the disciples, notice this statement. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. So again, what ties those two passages together, Joe, is the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit. And then finally, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6, this passage, believe it or not, ties into our mandate as well. You can connect the dots from Matthew 28 to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful. So once again, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to minister during these very dark days, to continue to press forward with the gospel of Christ. But notice he says here, our weapons are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now, what in the world kind of fortress is he talking about? Well, fortunately, he gives us the definition and explanation in verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, let me tie that into the news, because I like to do that. We were talking about, it is important, but we were talking about political correctness, cultural Marxism, social justice earlier. You gotta understand, folks, social justice is a philosophy. It is not biblical. You'll not find it in the Bible. You will find justice. We are to do justice. We are to love kindness. We are to walk humbly before our Lord. But there's no such thing from a biblical perspective as social justice. It is a philosophy of Marxism. And people have been brainwashed into believing that that is somehow a virtue of high moral standard. And it is not. It is, as Paul describes here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it is a speculation and something that has raised itself up against the knowledge of God. And it is the responsibility of pastors and Christians to pull that down, destroy that fortress of false thinking. False thinking. So, that's our mandate. That's our commission. That's pretty exciting, actually, isn't it, Joe?
It absolutely is. And when you take into consideration the atmosphere we're living in today, it's of vital importance. And what you said about, you know, the social justice and the morality or the self-implied morality that these people have when it comes to their mm-hmm. social justice ideas, yeah. It goes right out the window because, you know, they're not doing it for the to be better people, to help people that are in need. And they'll use the morality when it suits them, just like they'll use the out of context Bible verses when it suits them. But when it comes to what you believe or to Christianity or to actual things that are good and decent, they will, you know, tear you apart with yeah. you know, the other side of their mouth. So it is the bringing every thought, captive. is very important. And I don't know how many people out there are like me, but if you're watching TV or you're listening to the radio and you hear something that, you know, is being presented as it's not, you immediately scan through all the different things that you've read and know in your mind that are biblical, and you try to line it up, or you'll open your Bible and try to line it up. And more often than not, the Bible is taken wildly out of context and for motives that are evil in nature a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Well, Jesus said, Joe, that we were to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And that raises a question. If we're to have eyes to see and ears to hear, why are so many people, why are so many Christians blind and deaf? Why can't they see what's going on? And why can't they hear the Spirit of God speaking with them? Well, I think there's a reason for that, and it really ties back into 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where philosophy, these fortresses of the mind that people have created, they've been deceived, they've been brainwashed, they've been manipulated into believing things that simply are not true, and they are diametrically opposed to the Scriptures, and so they become blind and they become deaf, blind to the Word of God, deaf to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when they do that, when all of that happens, Joe, then they're not able, they don't understand the necessity, and they're not able, and or don't bother, whatever the case might be, to put on their spiritual armor every day. This is a favorite passage of mine and many other people, but Ephesians chapter 6 instructs us that we're to put on the spiritual armor of God every day. And the reason that we're to do that is because we are in a spiritual war. Life is a spiritual battle. And if you go into battle without your armor on, you're going to be soundly defeated. And so that's a big problem. The enemy uses tactics and strategies, methodologies and schemes to try and defeat believers every day of their life. And if you go in unarmed to that battle, it's not going to turn out well for you. And I won't go into Ephesians chapter 6 because that would probably take us a whole nother segment for me to really parse that apart. But we are involved in spiritual warfare, Joe. And let me just touch on this. When we try to engage in spiritual warfare without the armor of God, without the Holy Spirit, then we are going to be swept away by the enemy. We're going to be caught up in all kinds of false ways of thinking, false ways of acting, false moralities. We're not going to be living for the Lord. We're certainly not going to be bringing glory and honor to His name. But there are a lot of people that are trying to do that, Joe. I guess that's my point. They're still trying to do it. The Apostle Paul wrote about those folks in his second letter to Timothy. I refer your listeners to verse 5 of chapter 3. And here it says that, well, I better set the context. Let me give verses 1 through 5, and folks are pretty familiar with this. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, but realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, and so on and so forth. We've read that. We've heard numerous sermons taught about that. This epitomizes the times that we live in. I don't think anybody would argue that point. But here's my point. All of this is within the church.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is talking to Timothy about people within the church. Now, that may be a newsflash for some people, but here's how I know that. Now, look at verse 5, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. It says that the people that are acting this way, that are conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, They hold to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Those are people inside the church, Joe. Not the culture at large, but in the church. They're trying to live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. And you just can't do that. So that's why people like me, Pastor Paul, Begley, others, take the time. It's not popular. It certainly isn't popular. And if you take the stands that I take and you talk about the things that I take, Joe, people are not going to take kindly to that. But my eyes are opened. I know what my calling is. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm supposed to be warning the church that they need to get their act together, warning believers that it's time to step up their game, to put aside all of the pursuits of carnality and to get serious, to repent of this ungodly behavior and get serious in the relationship with the Lord. And that's really 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. And if I have the time, I'll share that. I think we're running out of time.
You got about 5 minutes.
Okay, well, let me share this then, and then I'll pass it back to you for some final comments. But 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5 says this, Paul again to a very young pastor named Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. That you, Timothy, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Joe, we have an awesome opportunity as believers in this last days to turn people's hearts and minds back to the Lord. But we're not going to do that by being spineless, willy-nillies, preaching cotton candy sermons, and just thinking that it's our job to make people happy and feel good about themselves. We need to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. We need to tell people that what we're seeing in our culture today is what should be expected. When people throw off the shackles of God's constraints, they say, God is dead, God is irrelevant, I don't care about God. When people do that, then you're going to see the results that we're seeing. And America has a long history of doing exactly that. The Supreme Court has really usurped the authority and the power of the people, and the result is what we're seeing in our culture today. I'll pass it back to you, Joe.
No, you're absolutely right. And just a couple comments on what you just said. Because one of the first things that came to my mind when you were reading through Timothy there, and you were talking about, you know, us needing to be diligent in our walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. We see this rabid anti-Christian sentiment, and mm-hmm. we also see, when we talked about the moral superiority, the implied moral superiority that the social justice warriors and these people, you know, throw at us. It made me think of a lot of times you see Christians with a moral superior attitude as well, you know, and I see a lot of this, especially online. The Christians will, instead of being the example, instead of being the living example of the Lord and of Scripture, people will proselytize, to the point where it's almost like they're doing it for the purpose of saying, you need to believe in Jesus because this is what's right, and if you don't, you're going to hell, and my way is the right way. And I think people take the wrong approach, even though they have good intentions.
Yeah.
We need to be the example first, and if we can't be the example if we're not diligent with our prayer life, if we're not diligent in reading scriptures.
Yeah.
And if we don't know what's in the scriptures, we can't take, you know, sentences here and there and throw them at non-believers and expect that they're going to be converted. We're
correct.
Only the messengers. The Lord is the one who opens the doors in these people to convert them. We don't do any converting. We're just the tools. And I think people need to understand that, because a lot of times people take it personally when they're trying to explain their belief in Jesus and the need for others to believe as well. And it's convoluted.
Yeah. And I would encourage believers, Joe, listen, that trying to convert people in a chat room or online when there, there's half a dozen or more people, stop already. That is not going to work. So just stop it. Now, if you can have a one-on-one with someone and you can take the time to carefully and precisely lay out what the gospel is, what the Bible has to say, why people should believe it and know that it's true. There are great arguments out there. My training and background, Joe, is in apologetics. I love talking with people about that and explaining reasons why it makes more sense to believe than to remain in unbelief. That's how you lay out the claims for Jesus Christ, not through argumentation and this, that, or the other thing. And much of what I had to say tonight, Joe, is aimed at believers. It isn't aimed at unbelievers. It's a much different approach with unbelievers. I'm calling the church to repent and come back to the Lord and get in the game. We're in the last days, and it's time for Christians to step up.
You're exactly right. Pastor Mike Spaulding, thank you so much for joining us. SoaringEagleRadio.com, Soaring Eagle Radio with Mike Spaulding. Bookmark his website. Check it regularly. There's lots of great content up there, from the blog to other video posts and just tons of information. Pastor Spaulding, thank you so much for joining us. Hope we can do this again in the near future.
Thank you, Joe. Be a pleasure. God bless you.
God bless you, too. You have a good night.
Thank you.
When we come back, Stan Deo will be our guest, as he's with us each and every Tuesday in hour number 3. Go to standeo.com, pull up the show images page, and we'll be right back with Stan. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, DanielHoldings.com. That's DanielHoldings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles
us to navigate a maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in this community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.